And so we're going to open up our Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. And reading what is at Christmas and Advent, very familiar passage. So Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. So Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. And this is the passage that's headed the birth of Jesus Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This short series through Advent, Extraordinary Ordinary. The way in which the extraordinary impacts the ordinary lives of individuals. And this week, we're going to be looking for a few minutes at Matthew's story. Any guesses whose story we're going to look at next week? Mark. Yes, we're going to look at Mark's story next week, and then the week after that, Luke's story after that. And then at our All Age service, we'll be looking at John's story. So each week, we're going to be looking at each of the Gospels, how each of the Gospels presents, at the beginning of the Gospel, how they present Jesus, the birth of Jesus, or the coming of Jesus into the world, how they present this character, this man, about whom so many knew, but many questions were asked about him. And today we have Matthew's story. Now, we cannot be be absolutely certain who Matthew was. It is generally understood that Matthew, who wrote the gospel, was the same Matthew who was the tax collector. And what we understand about Matthew, the tax collector, whose story is recorded in very little detail a few chapters later in this gospel, is that Matthew, the tax collector, was sitting in his tax collector's booth by the side of the road when Jesus and his disciples came along that road and said to him, Matthew, come, follow me. And at once, we are told, Matthew left his table, his booth, his money, his taxes, and began to follow Jesus. Now, that is the story that we're presented with. But if we dig underneath the surface just a little bit, what we discover is a man who is disillusioned with the story that he has grown up with. Matthew was brought up as a Jew. As a Jew like any other Jew, each year celebrating the festivals of the Jewish faith that reminded Matthew, as all the Jewish people, of the great story of the Jewish faith. But within that story that was told year on year on year during Matthew's life, there was another story that he lived with. And that other story. He was told one story, the story of the Jewish people, the story of how God had promised to David that his name and his house would live forever, that there would always be one of David's family on the throne. There was another story that Matthew lived with day by day. See, years beforehand, the Roman army had swept across the lands surrounding the Mediterranean and had conquered Judea. And they lived with complete control over Judea, where Matthew lived. And what we discover about Matthew is that on the one hand, he has a story that's told him year on year, but it's the story from his experience doesn't completely ring true. It was a story about a God who, as far as Matthew was concerned, had been silent for years. He'd not said a thing. Yes, it was all very well because the stories Matthew was told spoke of a God who spoke regularly to his people through the prophets. But Matthew's own experience was God is silent. God can't speak. God can no longer act on behalf of his people. And so we live with this other story about the Romans, about how they're dominant over us. And we see all of that in the fact that Matthew was a tax collector. He had stepped out of his own story, the story of a God who spoke to his people and lived with his people. And he had stepped out of that story and stepped into the Roman story. And he had become a tax collector, collecting taxes for the Romans. Now you might say, well, what has that to do with any of us? The reality is that for many of us, we live with a Christian story. We are told and reminded of the Christian story. But there's something in us sometimes that says, I hear that story, but I live with consumerism. I live with materialism. I live with the pressures of the 21st century, and I haven't heard from God for so long. He's silent. And so I will simply step over and live in this other story, the 21st century story. But then for Matthew, as for us, Jesus comes along and says, come follow me. Step away from the 21st century story. Step back into the great story, the big story, God's story. And so that's what we have, in brief, that's what we have, Matthew's story. He tells his beginning. He tells his gospel from that perspective of somebody who had believed that the Roman story was the dominant story, the story that mattered. But he had stepped away from it back into God's story. And so we have Matthew's story. And within that story, we have this reference. Joseph has woken up to this shock that his wife, to-be, engaged to Mary, is pregnant. And he wanted to quietly dismiss the arrangements, put them on one side and say, you go your own way. But it says this in verse 20. After he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David. And in that one extraordinary phrase, Joseph, son of David, what Matthew is saying, Joseph, son of David, there's a big story here, God's story. Don't abandon Mary. Don't live in the life you see day by day by day with the values of your world. Live instead, son of David. Live with God's story. There will be a king on David's throne forever. And this first thing I want to highlight is connect into God's big plan. And for each one of us, there is this tension we live with of God's big plan that we hear about and we tell the stories about. And then there is the world we live in day by day with the pressures of this world. And Matthew's story encourages us. Joseph, son of David, reminding him, no, there's a bigger story going on, Joseph. And so that's why Matthew tells it in this way. Because that's what had happened to him. He had drawn out of one into God's story. And the encouragement for us is to connect back into God's big plan for our lives. And the encouragement that you are not an accident wherever you are, whatever you've done, whatever your experience in life thus far is, you are not an accident. God has a plan for your life. And even today, as we reflect just for a few moments on Matthew's story and the way Matthew presents the beginning of Jesus, there is that encouragement to us to step out of the values and the ethos and the culture of our world and to say, okay, let's step into God's story. Let's step into God's big plan. If you look at, if you've got your Bible open still, have a look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. This is often a puzzle. Do you know, have you ever been in that situation where somebody says to you, look, I'm interested in reading the Bible. Somebody who's not a Christian, have you ever been there? And you say, well, you think, oh, don't start with Genesis, you know, because there's some difficult things that come up pretty quick. And you say, what do you say? You say, well, read the Gospels, don't you? You know, so we encourage them to read Matthew's Gospel. And they begin here, a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brother, and so on. And by the end of hardly a page, these people, folk, friends of ours, family members, who want to get into the Christian story and understand about Jesus, they go, they're baffled. What is this about? This is an extraordinary list of names. But what is Matthew doing? Here is a man who had abandoned, had given up on God's story and begun living in his age for the Romans. Jesus says, now come on, follow me. Get back into God's big plan for your life. And so he tells a story about Joseph, son of David. But even before that, he wants to say, you know what God's big plan? It doesn't just start with Joseph and Mary. You have to go right back to the beginning. Abraham, the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. It began all the way back then. And we may have forgotten about it and the significance of it, but Matthew says, this is what it's about. And if we read the names of the folk here, we read the names of those who were really messed up. You know, sometimes we hold up these some of these folk as heroes of the faith. Verse 3, Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Do you know about Tamar? A disreputable woman. He's putting it nicely. Or verse 5, Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Do you remember the story of Rahab? Rahab wasn't one of the Israelites. Do you remember Rahab? She lived in Jericho. And when the spies came into Jericho, she sheltered them and said, I've heard about your God. Would you save me and my family when you come back? And then there's the story of Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Again, Ruth wasn't one of the Israelites. She was married to Naomi's son. And all the male members of the family had died. And Naomi said to Ruth, go home. Go back to your people. But Ruth said, no, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. I'll go with you. And we have this extraordinary account. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. And you can do an extraordinary study through all the names, the characters who are here, who were drawn in out of one story and into God's story. So that's what Matthew is doing here. He's encouraging everybody who reads it. Look, I was drawn out of one story because I got disillusioned. I abandoned God's story. But Jesus said, come follow me. And I did. And I stepped back into God's big plan. And you can too. Because the story of Jesus doesn't just begin with Jesus. It begins way back when God says, I chose you because I loved you. And so we have here this encouragement to connect back into God's big plan. A second verse. If we turn over the page. In verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child, give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Matthew's emphasizing the point. God is working his purposes out. What was it? 500-600 years beforehand, a man by the name of Isaiah. Well, what happened to him? Did God speak to him words one after another and say, this is the message you're to speak? Or was it just a deep, profound sense within his own heart and soul that God was going to change the future? He was going to do the impossible. And I wonder how Isaiah would have wrestled with this deep sense. Maybe first of all he would have dismissed it and said, no, this is not possible. This understanding, this awareness I have, it can't happen. A virgin? Be with child? No. It doesn't quite add up. Let me reflect again on this sense that I have from God. But eventually Isaiah has to speak out and say, the virgin will be with child. God will do something extraordinary one day. He'll turn everything on its head. He'll do the impossible. Something that is said can't be done. God will do it. And so Isaiah speaks out this word. And then for 100 years, 200, 300, 400, 500, 600 years, this word hangs in the air. Waiting. And then finally, Matthew is able to say, everything that happened with Mary and Joseph, this took place to fulfill what Isaiah said. God, slowly, little bit by little bit, is working his purposes out. And the reality of our lives is that we don't always see what God is doing. Behind the scenes, hidden from our view. We don't always see what God has in mind. And when we do see it, well, if you're anything like Joseph, how did he feel when his fiancée said, I'm pregnant? I put down surprise, shock, fear, confusion. I don't know how many of you saw, was it... what was the TV program on the BBC where they told the story, Matthew's story? Was it Messiah? Remember last Christmas? Was it just called The Nativity? But it was, I don't know if the BBC will be watching it, showing it again. I think it was four episodes where they showed a young woman and a young man passionately in love with one another, making their plans together about their life, how wonderful it was going to be. And it's such a picture of joy. And then the angel comes to Mary and says, Mary, you're going to be with child. The shock for Mary, and then the devastation for Joseph as she tells Joseph, I'm pregnant. And the sense of despair for him, the anger the frustration that he went through. And yet Matthew says it was all in God's plan. God was working his purposes out. How easy it is sometimes for us to step away from our circumstances because we say, that cannot be what God wants. And yet we have to stand back and go, Lord, what is it that you're doing? What purpose is it that you're working out? I want to be part of your story. I don't want to give up on the story that I'm told about you. I want to live in it. God is working his purposes out. And then these two references. Verse 21, she will give birth to a son and you're to give him the name Jesus. And then Isaiah's prophecy in verse 23, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. You know, I wonder sometimes, you know, Mary and Joseph, when they called for Jesus, you know, they called out Jesus and they were calling Savior, Savior. I've heard, you know, people sometimes call their pets strange names. And then you'll hear them calling their cat or their dog, you know, some strange name. I wonder when Joseph and Mary called their son, what did their neighbors hear? Savior, Savior, time for tea, Savior. Or maybe they called out, Emmanuel, God with us, God with us. Every time they called out his name, you know, it was just a name. But every time they called out his name, they were proclaiming something wonderful. And they were proclaiming something wonderful, not just for Jesus, not just for Joseph and Mary, not just even for the people of Israel, but it was about God's plan for the whole world. Matthew has drawn us to God's big story, saying there's more to life than what you can see right in front of you and the values you would live by right now. There's God's big story. And when God called Abraham, and Matthew begins the story in a way with Abraham, when God calls Abraham, he says, I'm going to bless you, Abraham, and you are going to be a blessing. All of the world will be blessed through you. And from that moment on, Genesis chapter 12, from that moment on till the end of the Old Testament, there is this wrestling with God from Abraham's family, from the Israelites, from the Jews. There is this wrestling. Lord, we want you to bless us, but we're not sure about blessing the world. And the prophets come and speak to them. Yes, we want you to bless us, but we're not sure about blessing the rest of the world. We want it just for us. Give us our land. Keep us safe. Keep us secure. Give us everything we need. Bless us, but we're not sure about blessing the world. But the promise had been given to Abraham, I'll bless you and you will bless the world. And when these names are given to Jesus, Jesus, Savior, Emmanuel, God with us, it is because God has a plan, not just for Jews, not just for Israelites, not just for those who live in Palestine, in Judea, but God's plan for the whole world. Savior for the whole world. God loved the world so much that he gave his son. This is Matthew's story. Step out of the ethos and the values of your world and connect again with God's story. There is a dominant story that is God's story. Have faith in it and live in it. Let's pause and let's pray. And just in a moment of quietness, let's think about ourselves and just that call for us, like Matthew received that call, come follow me. Let's hear Jesus saying to us, speaking your name, come, follow me. Step away from the values of your friends, and sometimes even the values of your family. Step away from selfishness, consumerism, from despair, from hatred, from apathy. Step into God's story of love and kindness, of mercy, of generosity and of blessing. God's story is the one story, the real story. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.